won't settle for less than you paid for. Your blood has claimed my soul. It has ransomed beauty for ashes. Your blood has made me whole. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood.
Oh,
Jesus, it washes white as snow.
Wow, what a great Sunday morning, church-filled, congregational fellowship gospel song that was today. Doesn't that remind you of old school church? You had the banjo, you had the violin, the fiddle, you had the old school acoustic guitar, you know what I mean? Singing about the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua, the living Son of God who became flesh and died in the flesh just to be risen 3 days later and saving still today. And do you want to know about that blood of Jesus that they were singing about? He spilled all of it. He spilled all of it. You have about a gallon of blood in you at any given time. If you were to be drained of your blood, it would be roughly a gallon-ish, maybe a little more. And he spilled all of it for your sins, for your punishment. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It's good to see you all this morning. Friday, April 26th, year of our Lord, 2024. Today's show is titled Defending Yahweh, as you can see on my hat. And if you are new to the program, or if you are new to your journey with Jesus, and you have never heard the name Yahweh, that's the name of your God, your Creator. The great I Am, Yahweh. And it's in each and every breath that you take. So since it's in each and every breath that you take, Yahweh, 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 then we're going to talk about defending that today. And this is a topic that's actually very, very important to me. Very important to me. And I think after today, if it's not as important to you, the topics that I'm going to bring up, then I think by the end of the show, it will be. I really think it will be. It is Jess's birthday today. So as it's customary here on Live from America, we like to sing happy birthday. Kara Moore says, why am I always crying? Because my heart is full of love for him. I know what you mean by that. Because this big old teddy bear is always crying too. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jessica or Jess. Happy birthday to you. I just assumed it's Jessica, seeing Jess. So I apologize if it's actually Jesse and it's a guy. I just saw Jess's birthday, and I'm like, I hope it's Jessica. But either way, happy birthday to you. Splendorface says, Kara, I cry so many times in a day, but they're happy tears. Same here. Same here. And it's really only come on as I've gotten older. Well, actually, I shouldn't even say that. As I've gotten closer to Jesus in my journey with him and in my walk with him, it's gotten more and more. Like, I'll just be driving down the road out of nowhere, and I'll just start crying because a lot of the times, you know, you want to know what really brings it on? Yeah, now it's really Friday, see? Do you want to know what really brings it on? I'll tell you what brings it on more than anything else in the world. It isn't, like, my childhood. It isn't my relationship that I never had as a child with my parents. Or it isn't thinking about, like, my past or anything like that. What makes me cry more than any other thing, I think, is when I see people down and out. Like when I drive like the not so good streets of our town, you have those those sections of your town that are like, you know, really down and out sections, homeless shelters, drug addiction facilities, you know, generational Section 8 help, those kind of areas in your town. And by the way, I lived in those sections of town for a very long time. It's also Leslie's birthday today. Lesko Lugo's birthday today as well. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Leslie. Mwah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Leslie. Fun Mom says, for your upcoming move to Iowa, Jeremy, I know the struggles of moving. Bless you, LFA, and all your sacrifices for us. Love you. Well, thank you. Thank you so very much. I'm so blessed by you people. I really am. I love you all so much. Thank you so much for that donation and the thought of the struggles of moving. I appreciate that. Joan says, mistreated animals on TV makes me cry. Yeah, that too. Jay Gizme says, I drove by four generations of guys playing ball in the front yard. I bawled. You don't see families do that much anymore. It was beautiful. Yeah, I hear that too. But that's really what it is. It's when I see people that are just like down on their luck. You know, they don't have Jesus in their life. You can tell that they're out there. You know, you can see the ones that are addicted to drugs. You can see the ones that are alcoholics. And you can see the ones that are abused and beat. You can see the ones that are homeless and down and out. The single moms that don't have anybody there to help take care of them and any of that stuff. It's the worst. It's the worst for me. That's what gets me all the time. And that's why I always say that if I was a billionaire, I'd only be a billionaire for the first day, because there's no way that I would keep that money driving by those neighborhoods. And I purposely go through those neighborhoods, by the way. And I don't purposely go through those neighborhoods to cry. I don't want to cry tears of sadness for their lives. I drive by those neighborhoods, I guess, for two reasons. To remember growing up in those neighborhoods. To remember how I'm just, at any day, I'm a day away from living in those neighborhoods again. Living like that, lost and hopeless and addicted and just hopeless. But I think there's another reason that God makes me drive through those areas all the time. I think it's because I'm supposed to be going to those areas and bringing Jesus to those areas. I think it's because God wants me to defend the word of God and bring it to those people, because I know how to speak. I lived it for many years. And I haven't done it yet. I have not obeyed that yet. And I think it's because of, it's not easy to do, right? It's hard to think about, because I'm trying to put myself in their shoes. And when I was in that situation, had somebody driven up to me and said, and got out, and maybe I don't even have a car and they do, and they want to come and they want to preach the good news to me. Like, I know how I would have taken that back then. I know how I would have taken that. So I can't let that stop me though. I need to bring the word of Christ to those who need it most. That is my job here on earth. That is what God put me here to do. And he brought me through all of that to be able to do it. And I'm not doing it. And I know that I need to be doing that. So I will start. And I know that I was driving through there yesterday, and that's when it hit me. I was crying, and I wasn't crying yesterday for the same reason that I cry when I drive through those neighborhoods every other time. I was crying because I've not stopped to bring them the good news that they need so much. And I'm going to start. And I'll probably end up doing it after the move because I just don't, I need to be in a place where I can spend as much time as I need to at any given time. If I make a stop, I need to be prepared to stay there for 2 hours if I need to. And right now I can't with the move and with everything going on. But I know that's where God's leading me. And I really do believe that there's going to be so many opportunities for me to do that in the next 5 years. And I think that's what I need to do. So anyway, I say that to you because I know that you are going to have to be ready to defend the word of God, and you are going to have to be able to be ready to defend the teachings of Jesus when you go into those situations, because they're going to ask you questions about why they're in their situation, and you're going to have an answer for everything. You're going to need to be armed up. You're going to need to be prepared. You're going to need to be strong. You're going to need to be fluent in the word, and you're going to need to rely on the Holy Spirit more than ever before. And I want to do it. I really do. I really want to do it. And I don't want to record it. I don't want to record it. So crying is not going to solve anything. Sorry, hun. Well, I think crying solves a lot of things. I think crying out to the Lord solves everything, actually. I think it solves so much because it's a step, right? Casey says, Jeremy, there's a gentleman who walks the streets of Davenport with a big wooden cross and gives the word of God. He studied with Ray Comfort. Well, you can bet, rest assured, I'm going to find him. I can tell you that. You can bet, rest assured, I'm going to find him. But you may just be doing it with Rise Up. Everyone has a different circumstance here. And you are bringing the good news. Oh, I know I am. But I could be bringing it more. That's what I'm saying. I'm not going to stop bringing it here. I'm going to add to bringing it here, you know? Faith will deliver you to your promised land. We're in the same boat. But thank you. Jennifer says, crying is useless. It doesn't do any good. I hate to cry in front of anyone. Well, Jennifer, I'm sorry to hear that. I really am. If crying was useless, then in the Bible, I don't think it would say, cry out to the Lord. I don't think Jesus would have cried tears of agony, sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane if we weren't supposed to cry. I imagine that, I don't know how many times it says it, but I imagine in the Bible, it probably says to cry out to God or to cry out to the Lord or to cry out to your creator probably just as many times as it says have no fear. And now that actually is giving me a task. I'm going to find out how many times in the Bible it says to cry out to the Lord. It helps so much. And it, yes, even Jesus wept. And it also helps others too. Especially when you cry in front of others, it warms their hearts, right? Jennifer says, is crying out to the Lord same as crying? It sounds like they are different. Look up crying in the Bible, in the dictionary. Crying out to the Lord. Jesus wept and cried to the Lord, even before he was dying. I mean, even before that day. Look what he did for Lazarus. He wept and cried in open, in public for Lazarus, and people saw the love that he had for him. So no, I think crying is wonderful. I think crying is wonderful. Remember that song I was talking about with Brandon Lake the other day where he was like, let it out, let it out, let it out, let it out. Oh, let it out, let it out, let it out, let it out. You gotta let that stuff out, you know? And there's also good, positive and wonderful, joyful tears too. Joyful tears. Yeah, I believe it's healthy. And I believe that thinking it's not is probably a lot of your whatever you're feeling in here that's not right. I believe it's because you think you're not supposed to. And I think it's the opposite. I think you have to. Jennifer says, I'm probably still grieving the death of my dad. He passed on December 31st. I have to look after my mom now, and it's been really hard. I imagine it has, honey. I imagine it has. I imagine it has. But I think tears are beautiful. Now, I'm going to defend tears by talking about defending God, defending Yahweh. Okay? Jennifer says, so don't hold in anger, sadness, etc., and cry it out. That's good to do. Yes. Yes. Oh, that's exactly what Jesus commands us to do. Remember, Jennifer, remember that I love how God picks a person to talk to. No matter what the message is, God picks a person to talk to. Jennifer, remember the analogy that I used to talk about here on Rise Up about how when you put backpacks of stress and anger and sadness and loneliness and depression, when you put bricks in your backpack that represent all those things, you have to have Jesus walking with you to take those bricks out. You've got to let it out. You can't keep it in. If you keep it in, you will weigh down. God says that he wants to take your yoke. Come to him, all who are heavy laden and burdened, and he will make your yoke light. The only way to make your yoke light, Jennifer, is to let it out, let it out, let it out, let it out. It's the only way. It is the only way. I can promise you that. And you know what? When you can do it with someone else that you love and that loves you and under the name of God, when you can hold that person's hand and you can cry it out, you are washing away so much of what the devil throws at you. You're cleaning it. You're washing it away. So, wow. I did not think we were going to be talking about that today, but it really does. To cry is defending the word of God. To get it out, to let it out and give it to Jesus is defending the word of God. So it does kind of go hand in hand, if you ask me. If you ask me. But Jennifer, you're doing the right thing, sweetheart. Chris Green says this. Listen to the song, Cry Out to Jesus. Listen to the song, Cry Out to Jesus. Amen, Chris. Amen. You know, we haven't even gone to the Lord in prayer. I think it's a good time to do that. And Jennifer, listen to me. Sweetie, listen. When we go to the Lord in prayer, if you can, I don't know if you can or not, but if you can, let it out. Fun Mom says, off subject, but you know how you say that we were Jews first, now completed Jews? My mom said that we were Gentiles first. I'm confused. Thoughts, Jeremy? Well, we were Gentiles first. We were. But by default, we became Jews by becoming Christian. You accepted all or none of it. So you're kind of right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Lord and Heavenly Father, today, Lord, please, please, I beg of you, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, in the Holy Spirit name, that everybody who needs to let it out right now can do that, Lord. Lord, so many people have dealt with funerals, the passings of loved ones. So many people have dealt with loss and anger. And Lord, that is building up, that is swelling up in their throat right now. That anger, that loneliness, that stress, all of it is building up in their throat right now. Lord, let it out. Help them gush those tears out of their eyes, Lord. Help them get rid of that weight, Lord Jesus, today. Lord Jesus, take them by the hand. Hug them and let them know it's going to be okay to let it out. We deal with so much. We take in so much during the day, and we want to be strong and not let it out. But we are not strong. We are strong only by the blood of Jesus Christ, that he shed all of it for us. That is what gives us our strength. So Lord, let us lean on you today. Let us cry on your shoulder today. Let us hug you tight. Don't let us go. While we're shaking, while we're crying and shaking, hold us tight, Lord. Take away our pain. Help us defend your word. Help us defend the word. Help us defend God the Creator without having any kind of fear, without having any kind of cowardice whatsoever. Let us be strong. Give us courage to defend the word of Jesus, to defend the word of God, and to spread it to all creation. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let it out. Just let it out. Oh my gosh, let it out. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power, power in his name. There's power in that. Call on it and cry out and give the power all of your pain. Telling you. Oh, I'm telling you. 1,250 people in here, ladies and gentlemen. I have got a video to show you. Oh, do I have a video to show you? And it actually goes together with what I was just talking about right now. And if you weren't crying before, you're probably going to cry now.
Hey guys, so today I'm going to be talking about our love in Jesus Christ. So here's my Bible right here. So God loves us. God loves us to the moon and back. He loves us so much, he cannot even stand it. You be that person to tell other people about Jesus. Spread it around the world about Jesus. Spread everything about around the world. Like it says in the Bible, tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Don't drop the Bible. Well, if you do on accident, it's okay, but just don't do it on purpose. Spread that love. Jesus Christ. Spread it everywhere. Jesus Christ wants everybody to know that he loves them. Tell your friends, even if you're scared to tell them, don't be scared to tell your friends. If your friends are like, why are you saying that to me? Just say, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the one who saved our sins and saved our life. We could have been dead right now. We wouldn't be alive having fun with their parents and having fun going to the skating ring. So that's all for today. Bye, y'all.
What do you say to that? Out of the mouths of babes, folks. How precious. That girl can't be any more than 7, 8 years old. And that girl taught me something today. Let me tell you that. That young, beautiful little girl, she taught me something today. And that's kind of what was the inspiration for today's show. Actually, her and a name you might not have ever, ever heard of in the Bible. Elihu. Does anybody know who that is? Elihu, E-L-I-H-U. Well, you're going to know today because it kind of goes hand in hand with this little lady and my title of today's show, Defending Yahweh. And when I said that this is a very important topic to me, oh, it is. Oh, it is. Rise Up, episode number 344. Defending God is the best and yet sometimes hardest thing to do. Why? Why is it the hardest thing to do? Well, it's because there are real life, fleshly consequences in rebuking another's rhetoric when they are speaking ill about God or using his name in a unholy and unrighteous, vain kind of way. And like I said, this is an important topic to me, so let's talk about it. And for that, I need you guys to go to Job 33, verse 12. Job 33, verse 12. Now, in this verse, 33, verse 12, Job, you are going to hear of a man named Elihu. Now, if you do not know who Elihu is, don't worry, there's not much about him in the Bible. But just like this young lady right here, this young man by the name of Elihu was wise beyond his years, so much so that he had to actually intervene in a conversation of four men who were much wiser than him, much older than him, and had been on this earth with God much longer than him. And he had to be the voice of reason. Think of that. Let's talk about this man, Elihu. Please go to Job 33, verse 12. Here we go. Behold, in this you are not right. I will answer you, for God is greater than man. Why do you contend against him, saying, he will answer none of man's words? For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, he opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings, that he may turn man aside from his deed and conceal pride from a man. He keeps back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. What is this man speaking of, and who is this man? This is Elihu, ladies and gentlemen. And Elihu actually intervenes into the dialogue and the conversation that Job is having with his three friends, all of whom know the word of God very well and obey God. And while Job was sitting there with sores, almost detestable to even look at, wondering why God would do this to him, his three friends were sitting there, and they basically gave him a trial and convicted him, saying, Job, you must have done something wrong. They judged him. Now, even though Job said, I've done nothing, I am a righteous man, I have done nothing against God that I know of that would constitute God doing this to me. And his three friends said, too bad, you must have. You must be mistaken. You can't be right. They did not believe him. They judged him. They tried him. And they convicted him. And they were wrong. And Job was arguing with them. And he's telling him, no, no. I'm telling you. I didn't do this. I want to read a little bit about Elihu, because this is where he comes in. Now, there's not much known about him. The only thing it describes it is he's young. He's clearly a man of God, wise beyond his years, where he comes from, and what he says. And that's it. And that's it. The three friends look at Job's suffering and conclude that he must have sinned. Job defends his innocence. The back and forth dialogue makes up the majority of the book of Job. However, a man named Elihu, a young man, younger than these men, appears later in the narrative as a young man who has been listening to the ongoing conversation. Elihu is described as angry with Job because he justified himself rather than God. The three friends only judge Job. Rather than speaking on God's behalf, they assume God is punishing Job. Job responds by defending himself and then questions God's justice and goodness. And that's what makes Elihu upset. That Job, this man of God, who's rebuking his friends and their judgment, then ends up questioning God's justice and God's goodness. Now, he's not rebuking God. He's not cursing God. He's questioning God. Elihu is displeased. with both Job's self-righteousness, saying, I'm too good to have this happen to me, and his friend's inability to provide a satisfactory answer to Job's suffering. And despite his criticism, Elihu acknowledges their age, their experience, and their wisdom over him as to respect his elders. Elihu's speeches bridge the dialogue of Job and his friends and the book's final section, God appearing. Because after Elihu's speeches, God addresses Job directly, emphasizing his sovereignty and his wisdom, basically being, how dare you? I am the God that created everything. You're going to question me? So what do we know about Elihu? Well, like I said, while biblical text provides limited information about him, we can glean some insights into his background and his role of the passages. He's listed as the son of Barachel, a Buzite. The term Buzite likely refers to the fact that Elihu was probably being from the land of Buz, B-U-Z. A second possible explanation would be that he is from a tribe of Buz. The text describes Elihu, a young man compared to Job and his friends, and Elihu acknowledges his youthfulness and respects his elder generation, which was the custom of his time. But Elihu becomes increasingly frustrated with the arguments of these wise older men and the arguments of Job's and the ones that his friends put forth. He believes they have all failed to provide satisfactory explanation for Job's suffering and have not adequately defended God's righteousness. Now, let's full stop here. Let's go back to what that little girl said. That little girl said, you are to spread the gospel to everybody. The good news that you're alive, that you get to go to water parks and breathe and all of this stuff, right? And she says, even your friends will not want to hear you speak of Jesus, and they will be upset with you, she said. This young little girl. And she said, but you've got to do it anyway. And this is what is so important to me. This part right here, okay? High Priest King, thank you very much for being here. If this is your first time here, we definitely welcome you. I know you're trying to get some followers to help spread the gospel, and that's okay here. We're all right with that. Now, Elihu, E-L-I-H-U, teaches us something so special today. And it's this. And I'm going to ask you a question here, and I want you to be super honest. Are you ready for this? How many of you in here have more non-believing friends than believing friends? And I'm going to put this up on the screen here, the live chat. How many of you still have more friends that are not believers than that are? I'm one of them. Let's see here. High Priest King says, me. You know what that means? That just means there's more people to help save. I love it, actually. I look at it as a wonderful and beautiful and responsible challenge. Look at this. Look at all the people here. Oh, this is going to be such a good day for today. Oh, this is a great day. I love to see this, folks. Look at this. By far, more people in this chat have more non-believing friends than friends who believe. Now, this might seem like it really, really stinks. Oh, I wish I had more believing friends. Then guess what? Help them. And how do you help them? Well, here's the first way. My friends, whom I love dearly, and I mean I love dearly, they don't believe in God. For the first 2 years, maybe even 3 years of my walk with Jesus, they would all just go about the same way they always did. They would speak just like they always have, where I started to speak different. Yes, Heidi, Klein, I've already talked about that in here. If you want to scroll back, you'll see it. Thank you, though. I appreciate it. I really do. They just continue to live their lives. They're not the ones that are trying to look for this journey with Jesus. They're not the ones seeking this journey with Jesus, right? But every time that they would use the Lord's name in vain, whether they would say GD or JC in a way that did not honor God, I'd call them out. And I did not care if they did not want to be my friend anymore, because I am defending Jesus Christ. I am defending the Father that created them, that gave them breath in their lungs. Now, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. I prayed for them every single time and still do, but I call it out to them. I say, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, if one of my friends goes, and says it like that, I say, what does he have to do with it? And they say, what? I say, what does he have to do with the fact that whatever you're working on right now isn't working? What does who have to do with it? Jesus. Why did you say his name? Are you crying out to him for help? No. Then don't say it like that in front of me. That's rude. You might as well say something mean about my wife or my daughter. Don't do that in front of me, please. Okay. The next time, GD, whoa, what? Chill, bro. What do you mean chill? What you just said? What did I just say? You know what you said. Don't say that again. Well, you do it too. No, 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 no. Back up the truck a minute. I did it. I don't do it now. And I'm not asking you not to do it. I'm telling you, don't do that. Don't do it by yourself, but don't definitely do it around me. Period. I love you. I respect you. I respect your beliefs. But don't ever do that around me again. Because every time you do, I'll call you out. The same as I did before, if not more. And sooner or later, I'll separate from you. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you this. Those people that wanted to be my friends, they wanted to be my friend more than they want to say the Lord's name in vain. And guess what? All of them watch their tongue now. All of them catch themselves doing it all the time. And I can hear them catch themselves and then stop it and then reverse themselves and then say something different. And do you know what that is, folks? That is their conscience. That's not me. That's not them really like, oh, he's not going to be my friend anymore. What happens is over time, their conscience kicks in. And when they hear that word, they say, there's something wrong. When they say that word, they say, I can't do this. What did I just do? They know now. They're aware. They're self-aware. Kind of like we are now when we see our sin. We are self-aware of it. We want to turn from it. That is what's happening with them. Even though they don't believe, their conscience does. Because con means with, science means knowledge. It's written on their hearts. They know it to be true, or else they wouldn't stop. They wouldn't stop for my sake. They'd say, so what? So what? Me saying that word is more important to you than me being your friend or not? And you know what I'd say to them? 1,000% yes. Look, I love you. But you don't mean more to me than my God. So if you want to be that petty and not be my friend, by all means, go do so. But have fun finding another friend. Have fun finding another person that's got your back like I would. Because you're not going to find that. But guess what? When you don't find it and you come back, I'll still be your friend. And I'll love you just as much, if not more, because you came back like a prodigal son. I do not allow anybody to speak ill of God around me. I defend Yahweh. I defend Jesus. I defend the Holy Spirit. And I defend the word of God until my dying breath. Just like the disciples. Would I do it if I was being tortured? I don't know. But I have a feeling that I would lean on the Holy Spirit for that one. And I would go down with the same ship that they did. Period. I defend God. Now, does that make me a Bible thumper or somebody pushing it on everybody? No. Do I look for every chance that I can possibly get to mention the name of Jesus in the gas station, in the grocery store, at this kid's school, anywhere? Yes. Do I rebuke somebody if they say the Lord's name in vain or speak ill of the Lord in front of me or my children or anybody else if I hear it? 1,000%, and I do not care if they are mad at me for it. I am mad at you. God is furious with you. You're lucky you're not getting the wrath of God that you deserve right now, because you'd be dead for even thinking it. Not from me, from him. But he gives you mercy, so don't you dare do it again. That's what I do. And I hope that's what you all do too. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Comfort Friday. And I am on a tear right now, and I don't want to miss our Comfort Friday. So let's get our headphones on. And by the way, I know not everybody is that bold yet. I get that. I'm only that bold because God brought me through things in my life that made me that bold. Not everybody is just like me, and I'm not saying you should be. But what I am saying is definitely do not ever let anybody speak ill of God around you without speaking up and standing up for him. That's our job.
And trust in him, God promises, and he cannot lie, he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift. Am I speaking the truth? Ladies, can I have permission to interview you for YouTube and all media purposes?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You afraid of death?
I would say a little bit. I'm afraid of death not really for myself, but for the people around me and how it might impact those that I love.
I would feel more for the people that I leave than for myself.
Do you ever read the Bible?
I have. Like, only parts of it, but not, like, the whole thing.
And you afraid of dying?
No.
Where are you going when you die?
I think if you're kind and helpful and generous, hopefully you go up to a place that some people call heaven.
The Bible says this, every single human being is haunted by the fear of death all their lifetime. There's this haunting thought that I'm going to be put in a box 6 feet under the ground. I'm going to die and leave everything I love, the blueness of the sky, my dog, my mum and dad, everything. And so I know that we often hold back from saying that we're fearful of dying because we're proud. We don't want to seem vulnerable. How good do you have to be? I mean, how kind do you have to be? Do you have to give away a car or a house?
I think you need to help people that are struggling, and if you're truly repentant, you're supposed to be forgiven.
Are you absolutely certain of that?
Yes.
Because the Bible says something different.
I know it does, but that's my belief.
So do you read the Bible?
I did, but it's been a while. Same thing, I grew up going to church, but with like college, it's gotten a little more complicated.
I grew up going to church too for a little bit. I do, I go to church like practically every Sunday.
Do you know why you're going to die, according to the Bible?
I don't.
Do you?
No.
Okay, have you ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death? You have?
Yeah.
It's saying that God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge looks at a criminal that's committed multiple murders, and he says, you're not concerned at what you've done, but I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. This is what we're paying you. And ladies, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. You're waiting to die. And your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. Now, here's a big question. Do you think God is justified in putting you to death, or do you think you're a good person?
I'm a good person. I think whether you're a good person or a bad person, death is just natural and will happen no matter what.
Do you believe what the Bible says?
Certain parts. I feel like some things in the Old Testament, I believe everything happened, but sometimes it's a little complicated to like live your life by every single thing in the Old Testament, I would say.
Such as?
What woman can or can't do, things like that.
If you read Proverbs 31, it speaks of the honor of a woman, a place of honor as a businesswoman. Christianity treats women with tremendous respect and honor. So the Bible exalts women. You know, God made women in his image.
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't say death is natural. It says death is your enemy. And you can overcome an enemy. And that's what we're going to talk about. I'm dying. There's a knife in my back. I'm terrified of going to hell, and I say to you, I've done things that are morally wrong. I've committed adultery, looked to pornography, lied and stolen. I'm scared of going to hell. What should I do to be saved? What would you tell me?
I would say, if you believe in the power of prayer, ask for forgiveness.
I've done that. Doesn't help. I'm still terrified. What can I do?
If you're still terrified, then maybe you don't believe in a higher power.
I do. That's why I'm scared. I'm scared I've sinned against God. Donna, I've now got 1.5 minutes to live, and you're not helping me. I'm terrified. Please, tell me, how do I be saved?
I think you should just go with it, and I'll hold you in my arms, and I'll try to help your transition for it to be as easy as possible.
Well, that's very kind, but it's not helping. So I'm going to share the gospel with you so that you know what to say to someone who's in your arms dying and who says, how can I be saved? Because the Bible makes it very clear. To do so, I'm going to have to back up and look at the Ten Commandments. Can you handle that?
Sure.
Donna, do you think you're a good person morally?
Yes, I do.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Plenty.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
A few times, yes.
Okay, do you love your mom?
I did, I still do. She's not with us anymore.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
Oh, no. Never.
Of course not, because you respect her. But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother because you took his holy name and used it as a cuss word.
No.
Very serious. Punishable by death in the Old Testament.
Yes, I agree.
One to go, and I appreciate your honesty. This is embarrassing for me, but Jesus said, if you look with lust, you commit adultery in the heart. Have you ever looked with lust?
Yes.
Oh, lust. Yes, I think everybody has lust.
Appreciate your honesty. You've told me you're a liar, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. So if God judges you by those Ten Commandments, on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
I'll be guilty, but if he's a forgiving God, he'll forgive me.
On what basis does God forgive? A judge just can't let a criminal go that's guilty. So if you're guilty on Judgment Day, would you go to heaven or hell?
I don't know. Hell?
Don't know.
Well, the Bible says all liars will their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer will inherit God's kingdom. This is how you can know that you've got everlasting life. You've heard of Jesus dying on the cross?
Yes.
Most people have, but they don't know this. And Donna, this will change everything for you if you can get a grip of it. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus came and paid the fine. That's why he said, "It is finished," just before he died. He was saying, "Paid in full." If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. You say you're guilty, but you're out of here because someone's paid your fine. Even though you're guilty, you walk and it's legal. Well, God can legally take that death sentence off you because of what Jesus did on the cross, all because of his death and resurrection. And if you'll just simply repent and trust in him, God promises, and he cannot lie, he'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift. Am I speaking the truth?
I'm not going to lie, I zoned out a little bit.
Say that again?
I zoned out a little bit, so I don't fully know what you said.
You zoned out?
I saw the waves, and they're pretty.
Okay. Do you believe Satan's real?
Yes.
Do you know what he does according to the Bible?
He invades the world, and he makes everyone sin.
Well, this is what he does. The Bible says he blinds the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine to them. When you zone out and hearing that the gift of God is eternal life, you can bet that Satan's doing his work. So make sure you listen. Everlasting life is a free gift of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Make sense to you?
Yes.
At the moment, you're trusting in your goodness to save you. It's like someone going to jump out of a plane. They say, "This is my plan. I'm going to flap my arms and try and save myself." You and I'd say to that person, "Don't do that. That's not going to work. Trust the parachute." So don't trust your goodness to save you. It's not going to work on Judgment Day. Just transfer your trust from yourself to the Savior. You going to think about what we talked about?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you have a Bible at home?
I do.
Can I give you a book that I've written?
Sure.
It's called Scientific Facts in the Bible.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Donna.
You too. Thank you so much.
When are you going to die?
I don't know.
Do you know how many people die every 24 hours? 150,000. 54 million every year. And many of them are young people who are making plans for tomorrow. So please think about what we talked about today with a sense of urgency and examine my tone. Why am I talking to you like this? It's because I know what I'm saying is true and I really do care about you. And I want to see you in heaven, not in hell. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
So you're going to think about this?
Yes.
You kept listening?
Yes. I go to church every Sunday. So yes, I hope everyone goes to heaven as well.
When did you last read your Bible?
I didn't read my Bible at home, but I read the Bible at church.
God gave you life. The reason you see is because he gave you the gift of eyes. The reason you can taste food, taste buds, hear good music, because he gave you ears to hear. So everything you have comes from God, so put him first in your life. Number one, love him with heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the Bible says he's esteemed his word above his name, so read that Bible daily. It's his love letter to you. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Read that Bible daily. It is his love letter to you. Those young ladies hopefully had some seeds planted that day. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for Rise Up today. Listen, Mike Crispy and Unafraid comes up next. Apparently, he's got one heck of a Friday show lined up for each and every one of you. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. I truly and honestly actually... every day is another wonderful day for me here because it helps me in my growth and my journey with Jesus as well. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I love you. Thank you. God bless you. And we'll see you in Mike Crispy's show coming up next, Unafraid with Mike Crispy and producer Frankie. God bless you, and I'll see you at 11 o'clock. Remember, keep defending God no matter what. Okay? All right, guys. Have a good one. See you later.